You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
And they had chairs set up, and I knelt at a chair, and I was weeping uncontrollably.
Really?
As I contemplated the depth of my sin and how that breaks the heart of God. I don't know how it came upon me, but it's like the light came on.
He gave you, it's like, I think, even being broken and contrite is a gift of God, and he gave it to you that day. Well, have you ever been in church? You could come in from the world of the week, and then all of a sudden you feel broken and contrite. That's a gift. So that's what you had.
Well, I believe every believer, true believer, to some degree, they experience brokenness, and they do have a contrite heart.
Yeah.
You can't get saved unless you have it, right? Mm. So I'm wailing.
Of our 12-step program, unless you come to a point where you surrender and come to a place of honesty and brokenness, you're not going to make it.
There you go. So interestingly, I'm wailing. I'm just overwhelmed by my sins.
This is great.
And all of a sudden, I hear somebody next to me wailing. And I look over, and
it's the football player.
It's Denny Huebner, the football player.
Oh, my word.
And God had got a hold of his
heart.
It was amazing.
Wow.
We got up from there, and we weren't friends before that. We hugged each other. We were we're brothers in Christ.
Wow. And now I bet you still are.
And we are.
Yeah.
And he went into the ministry.
No.
Became a pastor.
You both got called that day.
It was amazing. I don't know if my call was that day. When I was a boy, I mean, I told you I was baptized when I was 12.
Yeah.
My Sunday school teacher told my mom without my knowing, and my mom never revealed it to me.
Okay.
But she came to her shortly after that, and she said, I don't know how to tell you this, Lou, but I believe God is called Greg to be a pastor one day.
Really?
Isn't that interesting? So my mom thought, I see him at home. So
but
I'm
she
not
didn't
sure.
want to tell you because that
she
might influence you.
That's right. She didn't want to influence me. So she kept that quiet. So anyway,
wise of her.
So I still worked at the restaurant. I still bartended after repenting of my sin. I didn't drink anymore. I didn't partake in any substance. And I had a different life.
Yeah.
And about 6 months later, I went to Jackie, the manager of the restaurant, and I said, Jackie, I need to leave. And she said, why? And I said, and I was broken. And I said, Jackie, I'm a Christian. I've given my heart to Christ. And I don't think I'm making a difference here. And she wept.
No.
She broke. This place was
maybe you could have led her to Jesus.
This was a really old building. It was a really cool place, this restaurant. It was an old building that back in the 40s was a brothel. They had a downstairs cavern, and that's where the offices were set up, in the cavern. Cavern.
Sea?
It was like sea, like rock walls with the
And so bad things happened down there?
No. It was an office. But I was sitting in her office in that cavern.
Oh, okay.
And she broke. She just started weeping. And
really?
She said, Greg, you don't realize the influence that you've had on many of us. It just blew my mind.
Because you weren't blatantly preaching. You were proselytizing. You just were being.
So I stayed a little longer. You know, I felt like the Lord compelled me to stay.
Oh.
But I still struggled with being the bartender, you know?
Yeah.
But I did minister to the mayor and to the city councilman, and, you know.
Hey, mayor, repent.
No, I didn't. But it was, you know, early beginnings in the faith.
We've got to send you to Washington. all of a sudden, the skies open up. Greg, you shall go forth to Washington, D.C.
So I went back to school, still going to school, and I finished my degree, a business administration degree.
Yeah.
Was at the graduation ceremony, a building that holds 8,000, huge facility. And I walked out the back of the building after the graduation ceremony with my diploma in my hand. And just outside the doors, there were tons of people talking to family and pictures and all that. And a pastor walked up to me, and he said, Greg, he said, I am now pastoring the church that you grew up in Daytona.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he had gone there after I went to college. And he said, are you doing any interviews for business? I said, yes. He said, well, before you head out, are you going to go home and see your family? I said, yeah, I am. He said, would you come by my office? I want to talk to you. I said, sure, I'll do that. So I showed up at his office, and he said, hey, I just want you to know, I sense God is calling you to be a pastor.
The Bible says out of the mouths of two or more witnesses, something is established.
Well,
if wow, here's two strangers.
Yes, and the reason he had that sense was because the summer before, after I had given my heart to Christ,
that next summer,
I went home to see my parents, and they needed help at the church working with the youth. So my roommate and I, Smitty, was working with Young Life up in Indiana. Yeah. So we came down, and for 3 months, we kind of helped resurrect a youth group. And it was a blast. We had a great time. So he was basing his comments to me on that. Hmm. And he said, I think you're called. And I said, wow. I said, that's a shocker to me. He goes, I want to propose something. I'd like for you to consider giving up the next year, not pursuing business for the next year. And come on our staff and let us pay you to work with the youth of our church for 1 year.
Wow.
And let's see what God does through that time.
Wow.
Well, I obviously didn't have a wife or kids, nothing holding me down. Okay, I could wait a year. And this was intriguing enough now as a believer that I wanted to know more. So I gave the year, and I never looked back, right? I knew I was called.
Yeah,
and that's how I got my start, you know. But God took me, and he didn't just remove me from a house of ill repute, so to speak. He allowed me to stay there and minister as a new believer, and I was strong enough not to give in to the things that were happening there. And then he removed me, and then he called me. I thought I was heading off for business. I even said I prayed my prayer when I graduated was, Lord, I don't know what city I'll land in, but wherever I land, I want to be faithful to the church, and I would like to work with youth.
Now, you're kidding.
No, I said that.
Now, the funny thing is, though, but see, you had managerial position experience. First of all, you knew how to manage the people at the bar and at the restaurant. And the next, you went to school and got a degree in business, and so you have a gift of administration, too. I mean, a pastor kind of has to have that.
Yeah.
Like, if I was called as a pastor, we'd all be in trouble, and I'd end up in jail.
No, if God called you, it would be successful if he would put the people around you who had those gifts.
You think so? Because I tell you what,
he would.
You gotta have some common sense.
Yeah, but you know what? If you look at the people in the Bible that God used, you talk about a mess.
See, there is
grief.
Hope for me.
I mean, David was an adulterer. He was a murderer.
Hey, if you're listening to this podcast,
God can use anybody, even us, Rhett.
We are looking for a few oddities to fill some positions we have.
That's what Jesus did. He chose the weird ones, didn't he?
I've chosen the foolish things of this world to confound those that are wise in their own eyes. Well, you know, I often have these little dreams like that where when the angels revealed that the Messiah was born, you would think they would go and appear before the king, or they'd go and appear before some wealthy people, or some very successful, or some scientists of the day, or whatever. Instead, it's the lowly workers. One of the lowest jobs you could have was foot washing and being a shepherd. These were the shepherds. This flock of angels show them. So we declare that the king of has been born. The king of the
heavenly host presented themselves. Yeah. To shepherds, the stinky, smelly guys that work with sheep all day.
Yeah.
Of all the people on the earth they could have presented to.
Who did King David go and get?
Yeah, a shepherd boy.
His army. Well, no, he was a shepherd boy. I'm talking about later on, though, when Saul was after him.
Oh.
He got those with
got the misfits.
The malcontents.
Yes, totally. Yeah. Well, that's always, really, in Scripture, that's how God works. He works through those who are broken, those who have been shattered, splintered, crushed, annihilated in life.
No.
And now they are nothing, and they know it, and they're desperate for God.
Well, you know, the Scripture says that even a proud look stinks in the nostrils of God. Now, we've known some arrogant people, right? So,
I've been that arrogant person at times.
Yeah, well,
I really have
too.
Been.
And it's like, oh my, it's like,
it's haughty.
Yeah,
it's just disgusting.
And the people that have it. People inherit money, or they get a bunch of stuff, or they think they're better than others, and they don't even know they're miserable.
I can't see it. I didn't see it until God turned the light on, and then I saw my sin the way he sees it.
Yeah.
Then I repented. Oh. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that he revealed it to me. But so that was, that was the early beginnings. And then I became the youth pastor at that church for 3.5 years.
How was that?
It was incredible.
With you? Now, you're at what age at this point?
Well, at this point, I'm about 22 years old.
Oh, you're young.
Yes, and loved it. I mean, I spent all my days and nights helping youth.
What did you love about it?
Oh, I just love kids. I loved hearing their story. I love seeing kids get a victory in their life. And I knew that God was the best way for them to have victory. It was coming to know Him and Him resetting their mind on Him and getting their identity in Him and then serving Him. And I saw that over and over, and it just thrilled my heart.
I love it when kids come to know the Lord.
Oh, nobody's more hungry. In fact, I believe this. If you look at a revival in America and other places, oftentimes, not every time, but oftentimes, you'll find youth on the vanguard of it. They're on the front side.
What does the word vanguard mean? The front, the shield?
Yeah, they're the ones that are escorting it. They escort it in, you know?
I don't know the word vanguard. I've heard it all my life, and I just realized, I don't know what that means. I know at the Billy Graham Crusades, 80%, over 80% of the people said that would come forward were 25 years of age or younger.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Reach them while they're young. Yeah. So
teach a child the way he will go, and he will return.
Amen.
Eventually.
Amen. So,
which is partially your story. 12, you have an epiphany experience. Mm-hmm. Then you stray, go off, and do your own thing.
Yeah. God just revealed to me how much He loved me when I was 12. And I wanted to love him back.
You would go to heaven.
Yes.
Yeah, you do.
Totally.
So you were born again, but not.
But I got older. When I was older, I sowed oats. I was good all the way through high school. Mm. I never. But it was moral goodness. It was not spiritual goodness. The difference being, I never wanted to disappoint my parents. So that's my workspace.
Oh, you love
right?
your parents.
And I wanted to work hard. Mm. For them to know that I respected them,
mm-hmm.
okay? But when I went to college and I was away from them, then I said, now I'll do it my way.
Party.
So a great example of that. So and an example of my father's, my dad showed me the love of God. When I was in school, they snuck me into a bar when I was young. I was too young to get in.
Yeah.
Up in Indiana, I'd be 21.
Your parents snuck you in?
No. the buddies in college that I was hanging with. This is before I recommitted my life.
Okay.
And they snuck me in, and it was 5 beers for $1 that night.
Wow.
And they loaded me up, and I was so drunk that they threw me in the back of a pickup with my head sticking out the back end of the tailgate.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon. Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.